time to get rid of the Republicans. Their time has come. You know, they are done. They are done. It is time for a third party to rise up.
They're putting their hashtag on going on there and showing how we're making a change on social justice and all this. Look, this has got to stop. And it seems so phony to me.
So obviously that has nothing to do with Islam, right, Jimmy?
No, not at all.
Obviously.
Not at all, dude. It doesn't make any sense to me how that's tied together.
It has nothing to do with the peaceful Islamic people at all. Whew, that was a close one. That was close. I was almost on the bandwagon of just saying, hey, I hate all Muslims. But nope, it has nothing to do with it. We need justice for Fat Fleck. We need to get to the bottom of who decided to cast Ben Affleck as Batman. We need congressional hearings, I think, because this is a crime against humanity. It's kind of sort of refreshing to actually have some racism involved here. It's kind of refreshing, you know?
Stuff things, words.
Damn, God, it's on. God, I hate him. Oh, man.
You are listening to Arms Away with Ryan Hawes.
All right, hello, and welcome everybody to episode 74. This is kind of the last real episode, if you will, of Arms Away with me. And, of course, your humble drunkard from afar. My name is Ryan Harms, and this is all about my way and whatnot. My way, highway, you know, Limp Bizkit jokes. And, there's kind of a lot to talk about tonight. I don't know if you know this or not, but something pretty horrific took place this past Sunday. I believe into Monday morning, maybe it was Saturday, Sunday morning. Not even. It's whatever. Minor details like that don't. Whatever. Now it's bugging me, damn it. Yeah. I believe it was Saturday and Sunday. No, I'm not going to do it away. All right. Sorry. Brought some light to the situation that absolutely didn't need to be there. A gunman, a terrorist, Islamic extremist, walked into a nightclub in Orlando, Florida, armed with a semi-automatic rifle and a handgun, and killed 49 people, injuring 50 others. I believe the number is 53. Say, man. It's apparently it's worth note that I don't know, I've heard conflicting things, but I mean the number one thing that I've heard is that it was a gay nightclub. I've also heard that it was a nightclub, but this was just like gay night. This is the worst terrorist attack on American soil since September 11th. This is the worst mass shooting in American history. Well, whatever. I'll just give that to the left. Whatever. Fine. There's some caveats and whatnot, but all in all, this is a horrible,
terrific, not terrific, terrific, but
a horrible, terrifying, disgusting situation. This shooter, again, when these things happen, I will not ever show the culprit's face or say their names here on this program, show, talk, podcast, thing, whatever you want to call it. I will not give them any sort of fame at all. I will not give them any sort of recognition because in large cases, in many cases I should say, that's exactly what the shooter wants. And by perpetually showing their faces on all news media and blah blah blah, blah he did this and it's so evil, blah, they're playing right into their hands. And, you know, all news media does it. It's needed some capacity, but it's also disgusting in its own right. For news media to get the information out and whatnot, it is needed. In fact, I'm going to be playing a clip here in just a little bit where someone is discussing this subject and he mentions the shooter's name and I censored it, so we'll get to that later. But of course, it took just mere hours after this event to take place. And we've got the current president of the United States. You know, we got to get rid of guns, essentially. Hillary Clinton, essentially saying the same things. They are now using the term over and over again. Weapons of war. At the time, it was thought that this shooter used an AR-15, which, again, is not an automatic weapon. Apparently, it's an assault rifle, according to some definitions that the left keeps using. The AR does not stand for assault rifle, just so you know. But it is not a automatic weapon. It is not a machine gun. It's not, you pull the trigger and boom, 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 boom. Not that. You have to pull the trigger for each and every shot. Semi-automatic only means, essentially, I'm not that big of a gun person. I'm not. So I'm sure I'm getting lots of things wrong here. Semi-automatic essentially just means that the gun will reload itself easier for you, you know, for the next shot. It becomes an easier shot, but it's not an automatic weapon. The left, of course, you know, Hillary Clinton's president, everyone, they're saying, totally lost my train of thought. Another here. Whatever I was going with, I totally forgot. But another thing that the president, Hillary Clinton, et cetera, especially those two, keep on repeating, and, you know, news media, mainstream media, there's another phrase that's been coming up a lot lately after this killing, this terrorist attack. They're saying that the AR-15, these assault rifles, are only designed to kill. Yes, that is exactly what they are designed for. They are guns. You're not going to use a gun as a fork or as a plate. You're not going to use a gun as a bed. You're not going to use a gun to watch TV. Guns are designed to kill. Every single gun is designed to kill this other firearm. I mean, there are other purposes. Sure, you know, you can, you know, sport shoot, go to a shooting range, shoot some discs. That's what they're called, aren't they? Of course, you can hunt. That's the thing that I was going to mention before I lost my train of thought. They also keep saying that the AR-15 is not used for hunting, which, yes, it is. Stop it. Either way, that is not the design or the intended purpose of the Second Amendment of the United States. The Second Amendment of the United States was, is, and will always be designed, was created by our founding fathers as a way to as a deterrent to tyranny. Since we're on this topic of gun control, I suppose this is the most apropos soundbite. Ah, shit. That's right, I totally forgot about that. I'll get it here in just a moment. So much dead air. What the hell is wrong? Damn it. I don't know. Now I totally am lost at the moment. I don't really want to move on from the subject of gun control before playing this clip here. God, there's so much dead air because I'm not talking. Ugh, it sucks. This is the worst podcasty radio show thing ever. God, it's horrible. It's such a... How did it last this long? It's so dumb. In the hell, man? Won't even let me upload it. What the hell is wrong with this place? What is going on? Stuff, things, words. Gun control. Second Amendment clearly states we can have some sort of debate about the author's intent. Maybe. But the Second Amendment clearly states the right to bear and keep arms shall not be infringed. Period. There has been enough infringement. Is that the right context? Infringement? I'll go with it. There's been enough infringement as is. The right to bear and keep arms shall not be infringed. And so, I give you this. This comes from Reason TV. I played this a few months ago here on this Harms' Way podcast show thing. But since it's come up once again, this comes from Reason TV. This is 5 Easy Steps to a Gun-Free America.
Life hack. A Gun-Free America in 5 Easy Steps. For a Gun-Free America, the first thing you'll need is 2/3 of Congress. So elect a minimum of 67 senators and 290 representatives who are on your side. Then have them vote to propose an amendment to the Constitution which repeals Second Amendment gun rights for all Americans. Then convince the legislators of 38 states to ratify that amendment. Congratulations! The Second Amendment is now history. At this point, you've done absolutely nothing to decrease gun violence. All you've done is remove the barrier for Congress to legally act. You need to enact common sense gun reform. You can try to do what Australia did and ban all guns? That's not at all what they did, but whatever, fuck it, go big or go home, right? Get that law passed by Congress and signed by the President. Great, the law is passed and guns are now illegal. The only thing left to do is enforce the law. Guns don't just disappear because you passed a law. You need to confiscate over 350 million guns scattered among over 330 million Americans. Sure, you can try a buyback program like Australia, but like Australia, that will still leave behind anywhere from 60 to 80% of privately owned firearms. The rest of them, you have to take. You'll need the police, the FBI, the ATF, the National Guard, all known for their nuanced approach to potentially dangerous situations, to go door to door through 3.8 million square miles of this country and take them by force from thousands, if not millions, of well-armed individuals, many of whom would rather start a civil war than acquiesce. So inevitably, gun violence, which is currently at a historic low, will skyrocket. But that is how you get a gun-free America in 5 easy steps.
So there you go. That is the ultimate goal. They say, no, we want to keep terrorists from buying guns. In the case of the Orlando shooter, he was born in America. In New York, tri-state area, somewhere around there. He was, and I guess he was a American citizen. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He happens to be the son of a crazy man whom I think I once heard he's running for president of Afghanistan or something. I don't know. He's absolutely insane. He's absolutely not a radical Muslim. Radical Muslims are those that are trying to, that are standing up and saying that we are a religion of peace. Those are, and they are looking to reform their religion. Those are the radical Muslims. They're not a, whatever. I forget why I even brought that up. This terrorist in Orlando. There's so much to discuss about all of this. So much. He was an American citizen. He had been interviewed by the FBI two or three times. I forget how many. I'll hear in a moment here with one of my sound bites. He wasn't on a no-fly list. He wasn't on a terror watch list, as you'll hear from one of my sound bites here. Someone will say that he was, but he wasn't. As a matter of fact, after being interviewed by the FBI and, you know, the FBI investigated the situation, it was deemed that his co-workers were bigots. See something, say something, yeah, you gotta do it. Remember that? That was like kind of a big thing after San Bernardino. But, you know, his co-workers said something, or saw something and said something, and they were just called bigots for their trouble by the FBI. Political correctness has killed far more people than guns. Just going to throw that out there and let that simmer for a bit. This, during the attack, for whatever reason, Florida is not releasing the 911 calls that this guy made to, you know, 911 dispatchers, the shooter, whilst the attack was still ongoing or nearing its end, I believe, he was calling 911, professing that, or proclaiming that his allegiance to ISIS, may Allah accept me. In the weeks leading up to this massacre, his wife helped him scout out the place. She knew that he was planning something. She helped him scout out Disney World. And yet we're having a debate, oh, should she be brought up on charges? Yes, obviously. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the story is that she drove him that night. Could be wrong. This is a horrible, disgusting situation. On this issue, I can't say that I don't stand with the LGBT community, because I do. This is horrible. But there's a message for the LGBT community that I have to share. I just have to. I don't want this to be offensive. I'm not coming at this as an asshole. I'm coming at this with common sense. There is far more threat to your life, your liberty, your pursuit of happiness in the world. Out there, and it's reared its ugly head this weekend, last weekend. There's far more ugliness, more threats to your life than bathrooms, than whether or not a Christian will bake your wedding cake or take photographs of your wedding. And hopefully, these lives that were tragically lost, horrifically lost, hopefully their lives will mean an end to this social nonsense, these lawsuits about discrimination over a bathroom, over whether or not a particular bakery is going to bake a cake for you. Not just for you specifically, but to cater to this one event that they deeply disagree with. This is hopefully we all can stand united, because these people, they legitimately do. These people, meaning the Islamic extremists, legitimately want to kill all of us. Not just gay people. Not just Jews. Not just Christians. Not just even Muslims that aren't Muslim enough. But atheists. They want to kill all non-believers. There was tweets that I found, I believe, sent out by ISIS or someone, anyways. Their avatar was a black flag, so, you know. They were using the hashtags Pulse, you know, the nightclub's name, and Stand with Orlando and such. Death to all non-believers. Yeah, everything else. Yeah. We got to go to a break. 760-539-3247 or click the Skype button. Warhans' Way comes at you just after all of this.
From Amazon, number 1,772,434th best-selling author comes his long-awaited unabashed sequel. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read.
And the butchery begins.
With a brilliantly written foreword by Travis Bevan that is worth the price of purchase alone.
Now I have something I can work with.
For only $3.99, get the sequel to The Drunken Diaries. The Drunken Diaries Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read. Get it on your Kindle device today.
Yeah, bitch!
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Hot Stock Tip Giver Outer.
Mr. Hot Stock Tip Giver Outer.
Why go to professional analysts when we can get inside information from your brother-in-law's sister's fourth cousin's stepfather?
On your mother's side.
Sure, you may know absolutely nothing. But we know even less.
Big, big, big old dummy.
Your motto, buy low, sell low. Get other people to buy low and sell low.
Keep hope alive.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tip. Although you're always wrong, you'll always be our Mr. Right.
Mr. Hot Stock Tip Giver Outer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
kind of a social media nerd. I'm also kind of a burglar. The couple that lives here posted online that they're out of town, so I'm turning su casa
into mi casa.
And if you share every detail of your life on social media, this could be you.
So get Allstate.
Where agents keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Mayhem is everywhere. Are you in good hands?
All right, 760-539-3247. Or you can click on the Skype button at the top of the page if you'd like to share your own thoughts, comments, concerns. And, hey, I actually probably will just take your phone call right now, because why not? But, hey, the last half hour, spent a lot of time last half hour discussing the left side of the argument in this aftermath of the Orlando shooting. And, the biggest thing right now is here. Just take a listen to these two clips uninterrupted, back to back, because this is just horrible, and it comes from the right. Let's start off with Bill O'Reilly.
Congress should pass a declaration of war against Islamic terrorist groups. All right, and then
that's a large
name them: Al Qaeda, ISIS, and there are four or five.
Are we not at war with Al Qaeda right now?
We are, but we're not officially.
Doesn't the authorization for the use of military force kind of cover anything we want to do?
Yeah, the president has the authority to do it, but if you make a declaration of war, it does a number of things. Number one, it gives your authorities inside the United States far more latitude to detain an American, okay? Far more latitude.
You could detain an American
under
citizen.
If you're at war, on a number of different things, you can detain people. FDR did it with the Japanese. Now, I think he made a mistake, but he did it, okay? So the war declaration takes the protection of your audience and you and me away from law enforcement and puts it into the military precincts.
The problem we have, and really the firewall that we have right now, is due process.
Yeah.
It's all due process. So we can all say, yeah, we want the same thing, but how do we get there? If a person is on a terrorist watch list, like the gentleman, the shooter in Orlando, he was twice by the FBI. We were briefed yesterday about what happened. But that man was brought in twice. They did everything they could. The FBI did everything they were supposed to do, but there was no way for them to keep him on the next list or keep him off the gun buy list. There was no way to do that. So can't we say that if a person's under suspicion, they should be a five-year period of time, that we have to see if good behavior, if this person continues the same traits? Maybe we can come to that type of an agreement. But due process is what's killing us right now.
All right. I know there was no context with that last one. There's no context with that. But really, here, let's do this again. Bill O'Reilly on Colbert discussing this whole situation and what he thinks needs to be done about it. Let's go there one more time right now.
Congress should pass a declaration of war against Islamic terrorist groups. All right, and then
that's a large
name them: Al Qaeda, ISIS, and there are four or five.
Are we not at war with Al Qaeda right now?
We are, but we're not officially.
Doesn't the authorization for the use of military force kind of cover anything we want to do?
Yeah, the president has the authority to do it, but if you make a declaration of war, it does a number of things. Number one, it gives your authorities inside the United States far more latitude to detain an okay? Far more latitude.
You could detain. You could detain an American
under
citizen.
A number of, if you're at war, mm-hmm. on a number of different things, you can detain people. FDR did it with the Japanese. Now I think he made a mistake, mm-hmm. but he did it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the war declaration takes the protection of your audience and you and me away from law enforcement and puts it into the military precincts. Congress should pass a declaration of war mm-hmm. against Islamic terrorist groups, all right? And then
that's a large
name them. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and there are four or five.
Are we not at war with Al-Qaeda right now?
We are, but we're not officially.
Doesn't the authorization for the use of military force kind of cover anything we want to do against
that? Yeah,
the
president has the authority to do it, but if you make a declaration of war, it does a number of things. Number one, it gives your authorities inside the United States far more latitude to detain an American, okay? Far more latitude.
You could detain an American
under
citizen.
A number of, if you're at war, mm-hmm. on a number of different things, you can detain people. FDR mm-hmm. did it with the Japanese. Now I think he made a mistake, mm-hmm. but he did it, okay? Mm-hmm. So the war declaration takes the protection of your audience and you and me away from law enforcement and puts it into the military precincts.
God damn it, man. So much. Ugh. One more time, O'Reilly. I'm sorry.
Congress should pass a declaration of war mm-hmm. against Islamic terrorist groups, all right? And then
that's a large
name them. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and there are four or five.
Are we not at war with Al-Qaeda right now?
We are, but we're not officially.
Doesn't the authorization for the use of military force kind of cover anything we want to do?
Yeah, the president has the authority to do it, but if you make a declaration of war, it does a number of things. Number one, it gives your authorities inside the United States far more latitude to detain an American. Okay? Far more latitude.
You could detain an American
under
citizen.
A number of, if you're at war, mm-hmm. on a number of different things, you can detain people. FDR did it with the Japanese. Now I think he made a mistake, mm-hmm. but he did it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the war declaration takes the protection of your audience and you and me away from law enforcement and puts it into the military precincts.
Bill O'Reilly, the great conservative leader person, maybe, sometimes. The Fox News elitist, blah, 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 blah. The guy that once said, fuck it, we'll do it live. Taping for Inside Edition. Yeah. He is calling for a declaration of war just so the military will now have the ability to detain American citizens. That sounds like a great plan, Mr. Hitler. There is no escaping that. That is Nazi-esque. Not the Goodwin's Law or whatever. That thing is, whatever, I believe it's Goodwin's Law. That is Hitler-esque. There's no way ifs, ands, buts about it. Hitler-esque. Period. So here, let's go to that second clip that I played. Oh, and by the way, in that Bill O'Reilly clip, it sounds all weird because, as I mentioned, I censored the shooter's name in one of these sound clips that I was going to play. So, yeah, anyways, yes, he said the shooter's name. I censored it. Anyways, the second clip is of Joe Manchin, senator from West Virginia, Democrat, who is actually pretty good, if I'm not mistaken. He's actually a pretty good Democrat. He's, I guess you would call them Reagan Democrats, Blue Dog Democrats. He's actually fairly sane. You know, he's not this socialist Marxist crap that has become the Democratic Party of late. But he had this to say. I believe just yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe even today, I'm not sure. Either way, Joe Manchin, Senator, West Virginia.
The problem we have, and really the firewall that we have right now, is due process.
Yeah.
It's all due process. So we can all say, yeah, we want the same thing, but how do we get there? If a person is on a terrorist watch list, like the gentleman, the shooter in Orlando, he was twice by the FBI. We were briefed yesterday about what happened. But that man was brought in twice. They did everything they could. The FBI did everything they were supposed to do. But there was no way for them to keep him on the next list or keep him off the gun buy list. There was no way to do that. So can't we say that if a person's under suspicion, they should be a five-year period of time, that we have to see if good behavior, if this person continues the same traits? Maybe we can come to that type of an agreement. But due process is what's killing us right now.
Due process is what's killing us right now. Maybe if you're on a watch list, I know he said terrorist watch list, but if you're on a watch list, if you're on a president's enemy list, maybe you should have to wait 5 years. No, absolutely fucking not. This is absolute horseshit. All of this, every single argument that has come out after this Orlando shooting, this was, I believe this was a similar thought after the San Bernardino shooting, that, you know, terrorists or people on the no-fly list, on any sort of list, should not be allowed to buy guns. No, Ted freaking Kennedy was on the no-fly list for over 6 months. No. No. These arbitrary lists, the no-fly list in general, is unconstitutional. The New York Times pointed this out years ago, but now that it's, you know, relevant to gun control, hey, they're like, yeah, let's do the no-fly list. That's awesome. Under the Bush administration, it's unconstitutional. Yes, it is, and it still is. Look, obviously, with this situation, this Orlando situation, this guy obviously should not have been able to buy a gun. He was under investigation by the FBI two or three times. Again, Joe Manchin just said it, but I didn't pay attention. You cannot restrict. It shall not be infringed. I know I just contradicted myself. Yeah, he should have. No. No. No matter what kind of list, your arbitrary list you are put on by the federal government, that does not mean your constitutional rights go away, unless you are a convicted felon. And even that, well, post-conviction, you know, post-whatever. After you've done your time and you are rehabilitated, you should have all of your rights back. I mean, I think that's the case, but I'm not positive. Whatever. From the left and the right, let's ban all the guns, or let's just get rid of, you know, the Fifth Amendment. Both the First, Second, and Fifth Amendments are under attack right now. You've got Mr. Drumpf, again, whose name shall not be said on this show. Mr. Drumpf, who's, you know, let's ban all the Muslims, which I'm, okay, I'll be fair, that's not what he is saying. But still, that's an attack on the First Amendment, one of the five protections, I believe it is, five or six protections that are given to American citizens under the First Amendment. The freedom of religion. He's attacking that. The rest on the left, because Mr. Trump is on the left, the rest on the left are attacking, and hey, Mr. Trump himself is also being like, hey, NRA, you're stupid. So let's, no, stop doing that, NRA. Mr. Trump is on the left, but he's, you know, he's not saying let's ban all the guns. But the rest of them are, you know, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, the president, everyone, let's get rid of the guns, even though they're not saying that, no, no, we would never, ever, ever, ever say that. We're just saying, you know, we need more restrictions. No, you want to ban guns. Shut up. Just admit it and be honest once in your fucking lives. On the right, they want to get rid of due process. They want to be able to detain American citizens. There's no way out, man. America, as it has always been known, is done. It's been that way since the beginning of May, when Ted Cruz lost the Indiana primary. And it became Mr. Trump as the presumptive Republican nominee. America, not as we know it, but as it has always been known, is over. The early 20th century progressives, the Woodrow Wilsons, the Teddy Roosevelts, hell, even the Andrew Jacksons in the early 19th century, they've all won. America's dead. It's over. There is no good solution. No matter who wins in this upcoming election for President of the United States, we all lose. More than likely, there's going to be Civil War-type events in the future, no matter who wins. This is not fear-mongering. This is not... I'm just trying to be realistic, man. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. The party that I most align with, Libertarians, its candidate... is a nightmare in and of himself. It just is. I want to support Gary Johnson, but I just can't. One of the biggest issues, that he wants to force private businesses to do things against their own will. Again, this goes back to the gay wedding cakes and everything else, but I believe it was at the Libertarian debate in which Penn Jillette, whom is someone that I absolutely adore and admire and look up to, Penn Jillette was the moderator. I believe this is where this all spawns from. Penn Jillette asked the question, I believe it was to all the candidates, to Gary Johnson, his, you know, will you force bakers Christian bakers to bake gay wedding cakes, blah, blah, blah. Essentially, that's the question. Gary Johnson said yes. A follow-up was, would you force, you know, Jewish bakers to make Nazi cakes? To which Gary Johnson said, yes, that is my policy. No, you kind of don't do that ever. You don't force a gay person to write, I hate fags on a cake. Or no, what was that, the stupid false, Whole Foods thing. Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't force a gay baker to write, "Love wins, fag," on a cake. You don't do that. You don't force private businesses to go up, to go against their own First Amendment rights. You do not do that. Don't do that, man. This is fucking America, where individual freedom has always reigned. And it's just become a nightmare. The American dream, the shining city on the hill. It's become an American nightmare. And a smelly landfill atop of a hill. Political correctness has destroyed us. Progressivism has destroyed us. And now, no matter what you choose, no matter what happens in November, unless something major happens, let's say the Republican National Convention, or something, unless something major happens, and even then, no matter what happens this November, man, we are screwed. America, as it has always been known, is over. That charter of negative liberties, as the president once called it, will be that dusty old document. It will be worthless. The document that created a country that allowed for the most economic growth, personal growth, that just allowed for the most growth, period, will be over. (sighs) 760-539-3247. Gonna be moving on to something more fun. Yeah, awesome things, I promise. Gonna be talking a little bit about E3 and whatnot. So yeah. Keep on listening and stuff. More Hans's Ways coming at you just after, you know, all of this and stuff. 760-539-3247 or the Skype button at the top of the page. If you've got thoughts, comments, or concerns about anything that I've talked about tonight, hey, I'll just take your call. Just call in. I'll take it. There's been a few calls in the last couple of weeks where I was like, I don't know what they're on about, so they're probably just going to say, like, bad words throughout the whole time. But whatever, it's just dumb. Just call in. If you're just a troll, call in. I'll take you tonight. 760-539-3247 or the Skype button. More Harms is way after this.
I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm cool. Get The Drunken Diary, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. Available exclusively on Kindle. For only $2.99. Wait, only $2.99?
You're goddamn right.
That's The Drunken Diary, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. On Kindle. Buy it today.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Company Computer Guy.
Mr. Company Computer Guy.
You are the ruler of the RAM, the guru of the gigabyte, the monster of the memory.
Show me the way.
When we screw up the boot up, you are there. Without you, computers would megabyte.
Megabyte.
The countless hours we spend surfing the internet and accidentally stumbling upon porn sites would instead be spent working.
Working for the man.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Company Computer Guy. For it's you who keeps our logons logging and our hard drives hard. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm your GPS. Turn right up ahead. You never update me, so now I just have to wing it.
I meant turn left up ahead.
Recalculating. Turn right now!
And your cut rate insurance may not pay for all this, so get Allstate. You can save money and be better protected from mayhem. Like me.
Recalculating.
Mayhem is everywhere. So get an Allstate agent. Are you in good hands?
It's time to get rid of the Republicans. The time has come. You know, they are done. They are done. It is time for a third party to rise up.
They're putting their hashtag on going on there and showing how we're making a change on social justice and all this. Look, this has got to stop. And it seems so phony to me.
So obviously that has nothing to do with Islam, right, Jimmy?
No, not at all.
Obviously.
Not at all, dude. It doesn't make any sense to me how that's tied together. It
has nothing to do with the people, Islamic people at all. Whew, that was a close one. That was close. I was almost on the bandwagon of just saying, hey, I hate all Muslims. But nope, it has nothing to do with it. We need justice for Fat Fleck. We need to get to the bottom of who decided to cast Ben Affleck as Batman. We need congressional hearings, I think, because this is a crime against humanity. It's kind of sort of refreshing to actually have some racism involved here. It's kind of refreshing, you know? It's stuffing words. Damn, God, I hate him. Oh, man.
You are listening to Farms' Way with Ryan Hawes.
Right, yes, this is Farms' Way, hour number two. Kind of. We'll see how long this lasts, anyways. We've got a couple of things to talk about. First and foremost, E3 happened. I think it just concluded today. E3 is electronics excitement. That's so. I don't know what the second E stands for. I can't think of it. But basically, for all intents and purposes, it's like Comic-Con for gamers, basically. E3. Stuff things, words. E3 has been going on for the past week, and it's kind of been awesome. Hang on. Sorry, just an amazing thing. Hang on. Anyways, stuff things worse. What am I on about E3? Firstly, I don't, really pay attention to E3 as much as huge gamers do. I guess I'm a casual gamer, maybe. They gotta love me some RPG games like Deep Game, Skyrim, Witcher 3, Dragon Age Inquisition. I love those games, but apparently I'm still just like a casual gamer because I only play on a PS4. PlayStations, consoles, dumb. But yes, I knew that E3 was going on, but really I didn't pay any attention to it at all. I didn't know anything that was happening. The first thing that caught my eye was a friend tweeted to me, hey, I guess Ryan's drunk will love this if he wants to spend $400 on a mask or something. It's basically Rocksteady, the game developers of the Batman Arkham series, which excluding that one, since I'm talking about it, that one being Arkham Origins, have finally been able to play for the first time. And yeah, it is pretty bad. I mean, there's cool moments of it, of course, but it's just bad. A bad game playing experience. Anyways, Rocksteady, developer of the Batman Arkham games, they unveiled that they're creating essentially Arkham VR, virtual reality, exclusively for the PlayStation VR, which is cool. It's a cool concept, except, you know, I don't give a single solitary shit about VR. I just don't. It's a gimmick that didn't work in the 90s. And hey, yeah, sure, the technology has gotten a lot better, but no. I just don't care. But yeah, that was the first thing that I was alerted to as far as E3 goes. But here, before I go there, allow me to read something that I wrote a couple of weeks ago on ryansdrunk.com. It's been a while since I've done something like this, so since I'm on the topic of gaming and whatnot, here we go. This is something that I wrote on ryansdrunk.com a couple of weeks ago. Again, it's the 2nd of June, year of our Lord, 2016. Here we go. Making the jump to the next gen of video games was something I did very begrudgingly. Sorry, the typos. But with something as massive as Batman Arkham Knight existing, I absolutely needed to make the jump, right? Since this next-gen-y type of things began, there were a few games I knew I absolutely needed to play. Witcher 3 comes to mind immediately. And, of course, the aforementioned Arkham Knight, which is apparently going to receive a Game of the Year re-release. But, like, wasn't it universally panned? I mean, personally, I think it could be the best of the Arkham games, but not according to critics. Because Disney paid them off, obviously. Anyways, this is just a random list thrown together on the spot and stuff. A list of the games I'm most looking forward to being released. You know, these are the games I really, really want to play. The games I'm most excited about. Games that I may even be the ultra evil consumer and pre-order just to get that day one DLC and whatnot. All that nonsense. I want to play these. Honorable mention, Rocksteady's Superman game. So we just talked about Rocksteady, and apparently there's, as far as I've seen, there's no news about this after E3. So perhaps something will become official in a couple of weeks at E3 and whatnot. But thus far, nope. This is just a rumor and stuff. But still, if people that gave us the greatest Batman video gaming experience in the history of ever are behind it, assuming their game for Superman, then, well, I'm sorry, but awesomeness will ensue. And damn it, I have to come out of the closet one of these days. Point is, if Rocksteady is making a Superman game, I'm looking forward to it a lot, and I want to play it right now. Day one DLC, asshole, and everything. Number five, WWE 2K17. There's a couple of things here. First and foremost, I'm not a fan of WWE coming all EA, NFL, Madden-y. They really don't need a yearly release. For reals, people, they don't. Give us an updated roster as DLC once a year, sure, but unless they add something dynamic for each release, it's pretty goddamn unnecessary, and it pisses me off. The Universe mode hasn't had any sort of major tweak added to it since its debut in the 2012 release of WWE 2K13, which is that? What it, yeah, 2K13. Just, sorry, thinking outside of my head. The past 2 years, major cutbacks of features, even though WWE 2K16 was vastly more improved than the previous year's release, and it's all just a bunch of bullshit. Secondly, I'd rank this game a bit higher if, at this point, if it were confirmed that a creative story was reintroduced into the game. This has been a feature that is very, very missed. Fuck you, Jay, kinda. Also, some much-needed tweaks to the Universe mode would be very appreciated, as well as other tweaks, such as creative entrance being limited to movements of only current roster members with nothing new, plus especially since custom soundtracks are no longer a thing. Thanks, Next Gen! We need lots more original music. Once I have those demands met, I'll be absolutely stoked to purchase a WWE game again. I'll even pre-order it for the Goldberg nonsense. Hashtag hatch, or whatever. Number four, No Man's Sky. Now look, I don't know much about this game. Damn near nothing at all. All I know is that you'll fly around in space and you explore planets and different solar systems and shit. And wow, and well, because obviousliness is obvious to see number one on this list, that sounds like a pretty good time. So sure, I'm looking forward to this game, and given that it's the game that's going to be released the soonest, no, I haven't pre-ordered it. I'm not going to receive day one DLC like an asshole, but still, it intrigues the shit out of me, and I want to play it right now. Shut up. Number three, Horizon Zero Dawn. Much like No Man's Sky, I admittedly don't know much about this game, but since I've been self-identifying as a trans PlayStation fanboy since the end of 2013, I'd have to include this, right? But no, the game looks just very massive and interesting. I want to shoot some arrows at some robot dinosaurs. Hate me, slay me. Titanfall doesn't promise me this, so fuck off, X-Boners. You can never ever call me a misogynist, screen junkies. I love me some female video game protagonists, but I often choose to be a female in RPG anyways, so shut up, you assholes. I'm such a progressive. Boom. Now, number two. This is the top two here. Kind of the reason why I wanted to read this is for these top two, and, you know, they both had something shown at E3 that I cared about. But number two, South Park, The Fractured Butthole. Look, man, hate me, slay me, whatever, but yes, even after all the lameness that has transpired with Matt Stone and Trey Parker in the last 2 years, how it has appeared as though they've gone soft and perhaps politically correct in their last two seasons of South Park, I absolutely loved The Stick of Truth. Sure, it was an incredibly short, linear experience, but it was filled with way too many laughs, many of which I totally forgot about after I had initially played the game nearly 3 years ago. Yes, this means I was a total cunt and purchased it at GameStop once the price dropped significantly, and damn it, I love it. Even though I hate games that are short, it's barely worth a replay. I love South Park, The Stick of Truth. So much so that more than likely, I'll pre-order some Fractured Butthole just to get that day one DLC like an asshole and stuff. Because hate me, slay me, I'm still a South Park Republican, even though Matt and Trey have totally betrayed what that means, kind of. Yeah. And finally, Mass Effect. Mass Effect. Mass Effect Andromeda. I know I didn't do that good of a job at clickbaiting you. I mean, I saved the image that made you click this link for last. It was the obvious, most important choice. That's Bush League. BuzzFeed would never allow this. But sure, Casey Hudson may be long gone from BioWare at this point. Perhaps EA is to blame for this. Sure, everything that's known about Mass Effect Andromeda is damn near the furthest game I was hoping for in a post-Mass Effect 3 universe of Mass Effect. But damn it, the Mass Effect series is probably the best gaming experience I've ever played through. Hell, I probably enjoyed the third installment, even with the DLC nonsense, all of the controversy, everything, the most. Legit, I'm biased, I don't care, I need to play the next chapter right now, you assholes, EA, BioWare, whoever. Y'all pushed this game back a year and it pissed me off. I need to play it or else. Boom. End. Yeah, talking about video games now. It's because stuff is words. That was my reading, RyansDrunk.com. Something I wrote a couple of weeks ago. RyansDrunk.com, all that. But here, EA happened. Stuff and things. EA. What the fuck does Thick Man in the chatman wants to know? What the fuck does video games have to do with Orlando? Absolutely nothing. Orlando talk happened last hour of the show. But hey, if you'd like to discuss it, let's do it. Go ahead and talk. Yeah, video games. E3, stuff, thanks. Whatever. What are we doing right now? We got the trailers for both of these games. The audio clips of them, obviously. Maybe we'll go to them. Maybe we won't. I don't know. Yes, that was the whole point why I wanted to read that thing that I talked about. I wrote last week. Or not last week, but a couple of weeks ago. So yes, here we go. Trailer stuff. Let's go with the Fractured Butthole first. Trailer, audio, stuff. Fractured Butthole, South Park, boom.
Why did we choose this life? Why did we become superheroes? We dedicate our lives to fighting crime. For one reason. To make $1 billion on a superhero franchise. Now let's go through the plan one more time. First, we start with the Coon movie. Then we do the Super Craig movie. Then Super Craig and Coon will join forces in the Human Kite movie just as we start ramping up Kenny's Netflix series. How come I have to have the Netflix series? I want a movie too. You have a movie, Mysterion. You're in the third Coon and Friends United movie after your Netflix series. Yeah, but he thinks he doesn't ever get his own movie. Do I get my own movie? Not everyone gets their own movie.
The franchise plan sucks. If we want to make billions of dollars, then I think we should start with a Tupperware movie.
Right, start with a black superhero.
Marvel is making a black superhero movie.
Yeah, now! They waited years to get to that. We follow their plan. We do all the real people first, and we sneak the black guy in phase three.
How about we just do movies starring all of us, like all the time?
But then we're just rehashing the same old material.
There's nothing wrong with doing the exact same movie to start a franchise.
Okay, J.J. Abrams.
Okay, so you're on Cartman's side?
He just likes this plan because he gets two movies in phase one.
God! We have to just go with this plan. We don't even have one movie yet.
How did it get to this? How did we grow so far apart?
You go with the plan. Maybe we'll just go and do our own franchise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you want Civil War? Is that what you want? Yeah, dude, Civil War. Fuck you. Fuck you. Get out of my house. We'll make way more money on our franchise. Go ahead. I bet you don't even get halfway through phase one on your franchise, DC Comics.
I thought Civil War wasn't supposed to happen until phase three.
Shut up, Super Craig.
I didn't want to have to do this, but you leave me no choice.
Did I just hear someone use a microaggression?
South Park, Big Fractured Butthole. Trailer, I watched the whole, panel, I guess you could say. Ubisoft, Smith, not the whole Ubisoft panel, obviously, but just this, you know, when Matt and Trey were on stage and whatnot. Watched all of it. Fantastic. Much as I hate what I kind of hate what they're doing with South Park, the show. Whatever. Awesome. They're obviously awesome dudes. Stuff. Drunk. What are we doing? Trailer. Mass Effect Andromeda. This is even worse to listen to. But whatever. Here we go. Mass Effect Andromeda's audio trailer. Listen.
Our survival as a species has always depended on our drive to seek out the undiscovered, push beyond our limits, and expand the boundaries of our known world. With Mass Effect, we are going further than ever before. To Andromeda, to build a new home for humanity. Imagine distant star systems with remote and hostile planets, teeming with alien life and civilizations. Worlds where adventure, danger, and the unknown are waiting to be discovered. We've created a universe that you will lose yourself in. A whole new galaxy for you to explore.
Something that looks interesting from just a very little bit that I saw from E3 is Watch Dogs 2. I didn't have that big of a problem with the first Watch Dogs. I played it, you know, on a last-gen systems, PS3. And, you know, I thought it was fine. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't this disgusting piece of disgustingness that everyone made it out to be. Sure, the vehicle controls were horrible and stuff and things, but it wasn't the worst thing that I've ever played. I mean, it wasn't like Uncharted or anything. It was just, you know, it was Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs 2, I mean, you didn't see much. Or I haven't seen much. I just saw some little trailer commercial thing. It was an ad before trying to get to one of these trailers, honestly. And, yeah, it looks fine. So, whatever. We'll find out. But apparently there's, like, a God of War. I think it's called Father of War. I'm guessing it's Kratos' father or something. I don't know. Interesting enough. God of War is fine. It's not the worst. It's just fine, I guess. Yeah, that's about all I can say about that. God of War is just fine. It's for a platformer, like modern platformer game. It's pretty awesome, I'd say. But as a video game in general, it's just fine. Yeah, Bethesda. They made it official. Skyrim is going to be released for next-gen consoles and PC and such. Awesomeness. So, that's cool. I'll probably play it at some point. Just, yeah. Also, a DLC for Fallout 4. Fallout 4 is pretty much the only Fallout that I like. I don't think I ever finished the game of the year of Fallout 3. I didn't come close to finishing Fallout New Vegas. They were just boring. I don't know what it is, but I absolutely hated those two Fallout games, but I loved Fallout 4. I guess I really loved the whole, what's it called, the building thing. I can't remember. It's been a couple of months. And I only, you know, rented it from a Redbox a couple of nights. What was it called? Whatever. The building, fortress, town, situation, building, gaining citizens and whatnot. I love that. And now apparently you can build your own Fallout shelter for some reason. Or not Fallout shelter. What? God, what is it called? Why can I not think of this? What the fuck are they called right now? Vaults. Duh. Vaults. You can make your own vault for some reason, which sounds kind of cool enough. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, that's going to be some DLC for Fallout. That's pretty much it then. Stuff, things, words. And, bit of an extended break here, but to lead us into it, let's listen to the Fractured Butthole trailer one last time. And, more Harms and Waves coming at you just after all this. 760-539-3247 or the Skype button. Coming back. Promise. Here we go.
Why did we choose this life? Why did we become superheroes? We dedicate our lives to fighting crime for one reason. To make $1 billion on a superhero franchise. Now let's go through the plan one more time. First, we start with the Coon movie. Then we do the Super Craig movie. Then Super Craig and Coon will join forces in the Human Kite movie just as we start ramping up Kenny's Netflix series. How come I have to have the Netflix series? I want a movie too. You have a movie, Mysterion. You're in the third Coon and Friends United movie after your Netflix series. Yeah, but he's saying he doesn't ever get his own movie. Do I get my own movie? Not everyone gets their own movie.
The franchise plan sucks. If we want to make billions of dollars, then I think we should start with a Tupperware movie.
Right, start with a black superhero.
Marvel is making a black superhero movie.
Yeah, now. They waited years to get to that. We follow their plan. We do all the real people first, and we sneak the black guy in phase three.
How about we just do movies starring all of us, like all the time?
But then we're just rehashing the same old material.
There's nothing wrong with doing the exact same movie to start a franchise.
Okay, J.J. Abrams.
Okay, so you're on Cartman's side?
He just likes this plan because he gets two movies in phase one.
God, we have to just go with this plan. We don't even have one movie yet.
How did it get to this? How did we grow so far apart?
You go with the plan. Maybe we'll just go and do our own franchise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you want Civil War? Is that what you want? Yeah, dude, Civil War. Fuck you. Fuck you. Get out of my house.
We'll make way more money on our franchise.
Go ahead. I bet you don't even get halfway through phase one on your franchise, DC Comics.
I thought Civil War wasn't supposed to happen until phase three.
Shut up, Super Craig.
I didn't want to have to do this, but you leave me no choice.
Did I just hear someone use a microaggression?
From Amazon, number 1,772,434th best-selling author, comes his long-awaited, unabashed sequel. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read.
And the butchery begins.
With a brilliantly written foreword by Travis Bevan that is worth the price of purchase alone.
Now I have something I can work with.
For only $3.99, get the sequel to The Drunken Diaries. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read. Get it on your Kindle device today.
Yeah, bitch!
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Centerfold Retoucher.
Mr. Centerfold Retoucher.
Your incredible talent takes gorgeous women and somehow makes them gorgeouser.
A mucho gorgeoso.
Breasts bigger, moles smaller, mustaches gone.
You're a star.
Thanks to you, hot wax is a thing of the past, and working out is for suckers.
Ancient history.
Any artist can say their work is in a gallery, but how many can say their work is stuffed under mattresses around the world? So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, old Da Vinci of the derriere, because thanks to you, we can enjoy real beauty the way we like it. Completely fake. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch.
I'm the world's worst cleaning lady. Cleanliness was supposed to be my middle name. But then my parents settled on Janet. Now, I'm here in your home having a pretty spectacular Tuesday.
But I don't notice the loose rug at the top of your stairs.
And that's about to become an issue for me. And if you've got the wrong home insurance coverage, my medical bills could get expensive, so get Allstate. Rage and help keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Good hands, good home. Make sure you have the right home protection. Talk to an Allstate agent.
Amazing and everything. So yes, if you're just now tuning in, the Orlando talk, that was last hour, dude. That was like 90 minutes ago. Where have you been? Well, I don't know how long I can talk about this, but just interesting to me. And of course, this show is called Hans's Way. I am Ryan Harms. This is my way or the highway, Limp Bizkit jokes. Boom. Yeah. Yeah. What am I saying? I'm saying that stuff and things. I saw a movie this past week, a movie that's well old at this point. I believe it was officially released last year, but I finally saw it, and I thought it was interesting. There was lots of interesting bits about it. The movie was called The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened? Of course, if you don't know the backstory, I'll try and make this as brief as possible. The late 90s, around 1997 or so, prior to the release of Batman and Robin, Warner Brothers was in development of a Superman movie starring Nicolas Cage with Tim Burton as the director. Obviously, we never saw that movie, and eventually what we got was Superman Returns in 2006. Yeah, 2006, 2007, somewhere in there. But this movie, it's a documentary about the death of Superman Lives. This movie that never was created, that never came to be. Kevin Smith, the director of, Clerks, the Jay and Silent Bob movies, as most people would refer to them as. but more intuitively, that's the word, more appropriately, they're called the View Askew Universe movies. Kevin Smith, he's also gone on to do such amazing works as Cop Out and Zack and Miri Make a Porno, which actually both of those are movies that I liked. I didn't hate them. But now he's done movies like Husk and Yoga Hosers. Now he's going to do Moose Jaws. Which he says is like his midlife crisis. But, and he fully admits to it. I don't know. I haven't seen either of them. Either any of the two that are, you know, available. You know, they've been released and such. Husk and Yoga Hosers. I haven't seen them. But Kevin Smith, he was originally on board to write the script of this Superman movie. He wrote, or not originally on board, but he was, I believe, the second. Someone had written the script, and he was like, no, this is horseshit. So let's write Superman Lives. John Peters was the producer. He was the one really behind the movie, supporting it. He was also a producer, I believe, on all four of the original Batman movies, I believe. Definitely Batman 89 and Returns, anyways. But, yeah. But it's a very interesting documentary for what it is, especially if you're, you know, into this, you know, pop culture, yeah, superhero movies, awesome things, yeah, everything. It's a fascinating tale. Although at the end of the day, it really didn't reveal much to me that I didn't know before. It was just interesting to see, you know, all these people's perspectives, especially like Tim Burton's and such. But basically the reason why the movie didn't happen, I already knew that reason. But still, it was a fun little watch to see what all these people had to say. And how, you know, Kevin Smith swears up and down that John Peters, he still does to this day, even post the release of this movie, Kevin Smith does. He swears up and down that John Peters never wanted Superman to fly, and he didn't want him to wear the Superman suit because it looks too faggy. John Peters, you know, in the film says he never said that, but whatever. It's just interesting. It's interesting. You know, there's so much footage that you never knew about. You know, there's the... Prior to this movie, the only image that anyone had ever seen, really, was like this Polaroid snapshot of Nicolas Cage mid-blink wearing some sort of Superman suit. And it's just interesting. There's other images of Nicolas Cage out there now, I believe, in other Superman suits, and it kind of does look interesting. Maybe he could have done something decent with it. You know, it's different. You know, it's interesting. But yeah, I think since this is basically the last episode of Harms' Way, the last regular episode of Harms' Way with me, your humble drunkard from afar, Ryan Harms. I mentioned it in the last half hour, talking about video games and such. I need to come out of the closet. So I think I'll take this opportunity to do so right now. This is tough, man. This is something that's been affecting me my whole life. But I need to come out of the closet. I am fan of Superman. I know. It's hard to admit. But I am a Superman fan. In all honesty, I believe it's got to be in the first volume of The Drunken Diaries, available on Amazon for only $2.99. I wrote that Superman was like my number five favorite superhero. And the reason that I gave was that I only like him because he's the one that I know the most about, one of the most about. You got to give credit because he's almost the first superhero ever, almost. You just got to give him credit, right? But really, he's probably my number three favorite superhero. I like Superman. I really like him. He's a good guy. All right, I'm sorry. I'm such an evil person and stuff now. I'm such an evil human being. And my progressions. Finally now, dudes. Thing is, next week is the final week of Drunken Radio. Which means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, beginning on the 20th of June, year of our Lord, 2016. There will be a podcast live radio show thing happening for each of those days. Beginning Monday is the shootout. I'll be discussing wrestling and everything. All awesomeness wrestling. I'll be giving my review of Money in the Bank this weekend on YouTube. Just a side note, this weekend on YouTube, I'll be giving my Money in the Bank predictions. Probably either Saturday or Sunday, that will be up available on YouTube. Just search Ryan's Drunk, one word on YouTube. Find the channel, and of course, subscribe. But, anyways, Monday. Wrestling show thing. Let me pull up the direct schedule. I got a rough idea of what they all are in my head, but let me just to be sure, let me make sure that I've got everything right. Monday is, of course, essentially the shootout. Yes, the shootout with Ryan Harms. Tuesday is an episode that's all about Batman. Wednesday is the episode that's all about America. Thursday is the final episode of Harms' Way. And hopefully this Friday, this next Friday, June 24th, year of our Lord, 2016, the last Drunken Radio show airs. And as of now, I can confirm that it will end as it began. Just stay tuned, everybody. Next week is going to be awesome. The final week of Drunken Radio, the final week of this Drunken Radio Network, begins this Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 6 p.m. Pacific here, blogtalkradio.com/drunkenradio. The final week begins Monday, this upcoming Monday, June 20th, the year of our Lord, 2016, with the shootout with Ryan Harms and so much awesomeness. See you then, everybody. Take care. And, of course, stay out of harm's way.
I'm good.
Don't let this happen to you.
Get the Drunken Diary, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. Available exclusively on Kindle. For only $2.99. Wait, only $2.99?
You're goddamn right.
That's the Drunken Diary, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. On Kindle. Buy it today.
Men with power obey neither policy nor principle. No one is different. No one is neutral.
If Superman were here, what would you want to say to him?
That my family too had dreams. To look him in his eye and ask him how he decides which lives count and which ones do not.
There's a new kind of mean in him. He is angry and he's hunting.
I didn't kill those men, if that's what they think.
And this is what makes you such a good reporter. Stuff like this still shocks you.
I'm older now than my father ever was. This may be the only thing I do that matters.
So falls the House of Wayne.
God is all-powerful. He cannot be all good.
If the world only makes sense if you force it to.
Men like that worse don't stop him. You know what stops him? A fist.
You are never a god. You are never even a man.
That dream is all some people have. It's all that gives them hope.
Now God is good as dead.
Man made a world where standing together is impossible.
We will. We have to.
From Amazon's number 1,772,434th best-selling author comes his long-awaited, unabashed sequel. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read.
And the butchery begins.
With a brilliantly written foreword by Travis Bevan that is worth the price of purchase alone.
Now I have something I can work with.
For only $3.99, get the sequel to The Drunken Diaries. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read. Get it on your Kindle device today.
Yeah, bitch!